It has been on my heart, and whenever I am busy with my hands working, yesterday I worked in the garden planting seeds, and while your hands are busy, you can meditate upon the Word of God. The Bible says, meditate upon His Word. Psalms 1 says, he that meditates upon the Word is like a tree that's planted by the waters. And the Lord gives me scriptures, He gives me thoughts, and it comes fast, and it comes sometimes with a lot of depth, and I'm not where I can write down the scriptures. And so tonight, this message is very fresh, and so I'm going to call upon different ones for the scriptures. I feel like it's appropriate for the hour. There's a break on it, and this is the message that's given. Anger. Anger is an emotion that we all feel. Every one of us in here have felt anger. Even a baby. A baby has felt anger. Is it sinful? Is anger sinful? So I want to go into this very balanced, because anger has good and it has bad. But if you'll turn with me, I do know where these scriptures are. For Jesus was in the temple in Mark 11th chapter and the 15th verse. Mark 11 and 15, it said, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And also in Mark, the 3rd chapter, and the 5th verse, now this is when Jesus was in the temple again in the synagogue, and he entered into the, I'm starting with really the first verse, Mark 3 and 1, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round on about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Two times here we have a picture of Jesus being very upset. You know, we've probably heard the phrase righteous indignation. And anger is not bad when it's in check and when it's against the right thing. Anger is important in our life in that this way. If you're a parent and you have a young little child, and if you don't feel when that child has a disobeys you, or does something that you tell them not to, or someone anyway disobeys or does something wrong, if you don't feel a little check and anger inside toward that child for that, then you're not going to be a very balanced parent. Anger is important in that you don't want wrong. You want right to rule. You want good things. And anger against the wrong and anger against something that is bad is right to be that way, because the Lord wants us to have an anger against wrong so that we will do the right. And I know I was thinking about this, meditating on this. Situations where parents feel that they're doing their child right by just being easygoing. I can't get angry because that is sinful, to get angry and to get upset at my child for doing wrong. And I was thinking about different situations. A situation where a father has three sons, an older and a middle and a younger, and he was that way. He's been that way in raising the boys. His attitude is, if I get upset at them, and I don't know his family life when he was young, but evidently he felt like maybe his father was too harsh, whatever, but he doesn't correct the boys. He feels like just let them do what they please and make their decisions and just kind of like run the roost. They don't have to work. They don't have to do whatever they want to do. If they do it, they do it. If they don't, they don't. And those boys are angry. And the oldest one, now he's married, and he's so angry. And the funny part is, I shouldn't say funny, the odd part is, he's angry at everybody else but his dad. And he treats his dad like his, well, he sometimes isn't so respectful to his dad, but he treats his dad the best of us. So his dad has this thinking that I must have done things right. So he's making the same mistake with the other two boys, but they're all angry. Well, why are they angry? Why are they growing up so angry? Because they did not have restrictions in their life. The father did not know how to correct them and make them obey. God, our Father, which is in heaven, is a good example as a father. Did God get angry with the children of Israel? Whenever the children of Israel disobeyed, when they were there and God was up giving Moses the commandments on the mountain, and Moses came back down and saw that they had disobeyed, what did he do? He was angry, Moses was. He threw down the tablets, and was God pleased with them? He was upset at them. He was angry at them because they had disobeyed. Did they get by? Were they punished? They were punished every time. When God saw his children were straying, the children of Israel, and disobeying, God corrected them. He punished them because his righteous indignation was upset at them. He did not want them to disobey. He was upset at the wrong they were doing. And he loved them so much. His anger was, I am upset at the wrong in your life, and I want you to do better. The Hebrews, there's a scripture, maybe you can get that for me. In Hebrews, I think the 4th chapter, where it says, a father that loves his son corrects that son, and your father in heaven corrects his children. You have that scripture? Someone, I know it's in Hebrews, but I'm not for sure exactly. I think it's the 4th chapter, where it says the father corrects the son whenever the son disobeys. Your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, he corrects you. So a father on the Hebrews 12, okay, just a minute here. Like I said, I don't have these scriptures just down, but this has come to me so strong because... let's see. Yes, Hebrews 12 and 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure in chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. What son is he whom the Father chastiseth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherewith all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. There needs to be construction. And construction comes from, I see you did wrong. You know, when you have a household of children, I want you to be corrected and brought in. Now, it's done in a right way. It's not done out of anger. It's not being striking at that person as a person, but it is done in a corrective manner to draw. God never, he draws. He brings people to himself. And so it is, we find if the Lord hasn't corrected you in a while, you need to ask him, Lord, is there something I need to be corrected on? Because he will come and deal with your heart. I know he's corrected me many, many times. And it's his goodness and his mercy when he does that. It's because he does not want to see a sin in my life or your life. It makes him angry in a way of seeing that sin. So he corrects and he brings about. And good parents will do the same. A good parent does not want to see their child loose, doing things wrong. And so a good parent will say, no, I want you to mind me. You obey me. You do this, you do that, I want you to mind me. And even if the child resists, a good parent will say, it's because I love you. If you love me, you will mind me, you will obey. Sometimes there has to be punishment there to bring a point across. But that is a good parent. And the father is that way. He is a good parent. And it is the anger of the parent toward the wrong in that child that brings about correction. And there's a right way of correcting. But that's not the main message I have tonight. But I want that to be brought out because there's a balance. There's a balance in anger. In Matthew 5th chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount, let's see, it's down here in the 21st verse, it says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And Jesus is bringing out here, and I've not had time to really study this out, what Raca means. But I believe what he's saying is, don't let your anger go into a bitterness. Following anger, if it is not put in check, and if it is not taken care of, it goes into a bitterness. It has to be redirected. There is anger that we can feel when we have been done wrong, been done injustice. And there can be deep, deep, deep hurts in that. And I can go back, and the Lord was reminding me of a lot of deep things a few years ago. Deep hurts. And I remember back when I want to bring this out, because the Lord led me through these steps whenever I was younger, but I did not see them. His Holy Spirit and His mercy taught me things that later He told me what it was He taught me. But at the time, I was not aware of what He was teaching me. But as you grow in the Lord, He opens it up. And so He opened some things out to me about this. It's been in the last year or two that He's really opened some more things out to me. But He taught me some of it when I was young, and He taught me some steps. And back a few years ago, actually about 25 years ago or so, whenever, you know, our little girl passed away, and I was remembering her so much this week for some reason. And I remember the hurt and the pain that we went through whenever Vicky passed away. And I remember the police took us to the hospital, and we were there, and I'm a person, I was not well, of course, I was expecting. I was just pressed for time, and I was very tired, and Dwayne, he was all charged, and he was wanting to testify. They took us into the chapel of the church there, or the hospital, or the chapel. And Dwayne began to testify about how the Lord had healed him, and how his ear had been, he'd been ran over as a child, and his ear had been off, and the Lord had healed it back, and how he'd had appendix rupture, and the Lord had healed him. And you know what those two big police officers and that DHS worker was doing? They were laughing. Making fun. They called us dirty names. And they were making fun. And we were hurting. We were grieved. We just lost a child. We had a sick son that they were working with that was screaming and hollering because he was upset. We had two more children gone that later, when they put us in prison, in jail. We were in jail. They frisked us, took our things, put us in jail. And I was in one. Dwayne was in the other. I could hear Dwayne over in the other cell crying and praying. I was quiet. And after a while, Lieutenant Koonsman came and knocked on the door there and peeked in, and he said, "Mrs. Sorrell, I understand you have another child." And they already had Susan. And I said, I had not told him that. I said, "How do you know?" And he said, "Well, we know. We found out." And he said, "Well, if you don't want to tell us where she is, we'll just send out a warrant for her arrest." I was mad. I was angry. I mean, you can't naturally be not hurting. And I was hurting, and I said, "Don't you dare go hunting for my baby." I said, "What are you going to do?" I was in jail. What was I going to do? It hurts. Those are some deep hurts. And of course, whenever it all, they went and found where Jennifer was. She came to the house. The big policeman took her with him. We fell down and began to cry. Well, I went home. Actually, what happened? I went home, gave me a house arrest. And I want to bring all this out because these deep hurts like this hurt. That's what people deal with, deep hurts like this. And whenever you go through a deep hurt like this, you know what your reaction is? You want to get back. Revenge. The Lord began to work on my heart. That's not going to solve anything. And your family's in jeopardy here. Your family is in jeopardy. I want my family, Dwayne and I, we both had our own battles through this. He had his own, I had mine. Sometimes we hit. And we felt like, and he was in a struggle, I was in a struggle. These are natural things. These are things of life. And sometimes we hit together because we didn't agree on things. And that was the devil laughing, you know. I got you. The Lord said, "Can't do that. There can't be conflict. You can't have that. You've got to learn somewhere to soften down, forgive, let go. You've got to find an avenue. Lord, I got to find a channel out of this." I felt like I was in a box, squished down, and not able to get out. And it was like, out of here. I got to get out of this box. But how do I get out? And of course, the saints were praying. We had people, I wrote to the president, and you know what they wrote back? And they said, "We don't handle local cases." It was handled by the local court. And they were making fun. They were mocking us. They called us names. Our attorney, even, the first time we went to see him, you know what he did? He sat back in his chair and he says, "You know, the only way you're going to get out of this is to apologize. Just apologize." And he said, "I think you're all fools myself." I mean, he just
He was our mouthpiece in court.
The Lord gave me a message to write to him. I wrote him a letter. It was by God's grace and help. And you know what? The next time we went to see him, he was very humbled. He said, I see your point. I'm going to take your case. He said, God dealt with my heart. That's all I can say. And it was God that dealt with his heart. We were in a very bad predicament. We were in a deep way, in a bad way. We were hurting. We had lost a child. We were hurting. We were hurting about the predicament we were in. These deep, deep hurts are what people have to deal with. And it creates anger. I know that. I know it does. I know it creates an anger. So how do you get out of that anger? And like I said yesterday, well, the last two or three days, the Lord's been showing me the steps he had brought me through. But at the time, he didn't tell me what he was doing. But now, looking back, I can see what he did with me, what he did. You have to rechannel that anger. You have to rechannel that. And I'll go back just real quickly with the message I had the other night about a way to escape. I'll go back over it again. I remember in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, that the Lord will make a way to escape. We have to have an escape route emotionally. We have to have a way to bear things. God has that escape route. So many people out in the world is angry today because they've been done wrong. They've been hurt. And sometimes, a lot of times, it's by their own family. A lot of times, it's done by somebody that's close to them, and they're so angry and they're so hurt. But a lot of times, they take that anger out on the younger or the weaker because they can't get at the stronger. You see, I couldn't get at the government. I could not get them because I was angry, but they were too big. So my reaction would have naturally been to react to what? The children. And that's often done. If the Lord gave me grace, he let me see. No, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. You don't do it at your husband. But there has to be an escape because anger has to have a scapegoat and an out. And that is what people do so much. They get angry at the higher, so they take it out on the younger. So a husband gets angry at the boss at work because the boss did him wrong. He comes home and he yells at the wife. The wife can't take it out on the husband because he's bigger and stronger. She takes it out on the children. And the children fuss and fight among themselves. They take it out. They grew up angry. It's just anger, anger, anger. How do you stop that cycle? How do you get that to stop? Because it's charging. It's there. And we have a lot of people angry today. Angry. And it's combustible and it's going to explode. And I just pray, God, help us to know what to do here and where do we fit in. But there has to be a way to escape. And last week I talked about, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We have to be able to change some things, but we got to know what it is to change. What can we change? And you remember I told you the three kinds of conflicts. The conflict is man versus man, which is friendship or relationship conflicts, man versus himself, or man versus nature. And in those three conflicts, you can find all other levels of those are the three categories, and everything comes under those three categories. There's times when there's things that we cannot change as far as the predicament we're in or the situation we're in, but we can change ourselves and the way we look at it. We can change our attitude toward it so that we can bring that into our will, our control, and give it to the Lord. You know, when Jesus was here, he's a great example. I remember back in those times when I was going through that, the Lord kept speaking to me, study Jesus. Study Jesus. Jesus was persecuted. He was everywhere he went. They were looking to find fault. Like when he was healing that man with the withered hand, he knew their attitudes. They were angry at him. And Jesus was not angry so much at them because he was willing to die for them, but Jesus was angry at the sin in their life. So I began to study Jesus. What did Jesus do when they persecuted, when they said evil? They told him he had the devil. They actually said that to him. And he said, how can I have the devil? The house isn't divided against itself. If I cast out a devil, I can't have the devil in me to cast out a devil. Since then I've learned what Jesus meant by that. If you've ever worked with somebody, I remember working with a young woman, and she admitted to having the devil. And that devil will find something in you to weaken you if there's a weakness. So what Jesus was saying was, I'm of God. I'm the Son of God. But they were picking at him to find every little thing they could to find fault with him because they had so much envy in their hearts. The reason why they had so much hatred and envy is because he exposed their sin. And they didn't like that. They did not like it that Jesus exposed their sin. So they were going to get him out of their sight, get him out, because he exposed their sin. And people like that are today, are that way today. When somebody lives right and their ways are evil and dark, there's going to be an anger against that one that's doing right because it exposes their sin. If you're not careful, and the Lord help us, help me, because he's been teaching me more, we will strike back with anger because that's natural. But there's constructive ways to put anger out or express it out without doing it in a bad way. And I've been thinking a lot about that. Lord, the constructive ways. And this is what the Lord did when he began to teach to me. He said, get deeper and deeper in my word. And when you begin to feel that anger toward the law and toward what's been done to you, and you feel that building up within, get a scripture, get a sign, and start studying my word. Get deeper in my word. I began to read about Jesus and just everything he did, how he moved, what he said, how he acted to the people. I began to study him. And then the Lord said, too, there's some constructive things. Begin to study about the laws of the land and the way that you can help people know more about me. In other words, help somebody else. Learn how you can reach out to someone else, because if you can return that anger into something constructive to do good to someone, that's good. Jesus did that. Jesus was angry at the sins in their life, so angry at their sins, he said, God, I'll take the cross. I will go to that cross and die on that cross because I am so tired of the sins I see in this world. You see that? He was angry at the sins in their life and that they had so much sin that the devil had got them down. He said, the devil has done this. It's the, when the devil came, well, Jesus said to the disciples, there's a scripture, you might need to help me with that, where it says, whenever Jesus was talking to them, I think it's in John, he said, now the prince of this world will come, but he will find nothing in me. Jesus said them, the prince will come. Let me see if I can find it real quickly. Okay, John 14 and 30, thank you. He said, oh yes, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Yes, Jesus was saying here, he doesn't have a place in my heart. I am doing this because I love you. As a father, you know, remember when he stood over Jerusalem and he cried and he said, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not come. You love darkness. The devil has a hold of you. And the devil is wicked. He's mean. He's pulling you down. Jesus knew the depths of hell. He had seen it. He knew how bad it was. And he was angry at the devil and that what the devil had done. And he was wanting those people to come to him for redemption, for salvation. He had grace from his Father to give to them. Many times he went to the Father in prayer. You'll find in the scriptures he would go into the mountain to pray. He got that strength from the Father. And when he was praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He brought himself into check. Like the scriptures in Proverbs says, a man that's not able to control himself is like a city broken down without a wall. Jesus had control of himself. He had that control to bring his will to the Father, bring that into subjection to the Father, for the Father to use him and work with him and let him die on the cross for the sins of the world. He hated the sin. He hated the destruction that the devil was doing with God's people and all people of this world. He was willing to go to the cross and die for us because he did not want people to be bullied by the devil anymore. Not to see people taken advantage of by the devil. And by his sacrifice on that tree, we can have redemption. Jesus put that to good use. We can follow that same pattern today in this. When we are hurting, we've been done wrong, find someone that needs encouragement. That's a simple way of doing it, but I found it worked. I take my children to the nursing home. Go visit the elder. Pray for them. Work with them. encourage them. Write, and this is me. You can find your, write letters of encouragement to somebody that's sad. Write a note to pick somebody up to encourage them. Use that energy, that charge you get, that you've been feeling toward, and I hope I'm bringing this out, where you can do it constructively. You can express it through the love of God. Change it. Transform. Instead of letting that anger be, I'm going to hit, I'm going to hurt, instead let it be, I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to do good for someone that might be hurting. Pick them up. Encourage them, because I know how bad it is to be hurt. I'm going to lift them up. You know, after we went through what we did, I this was another thing. I wanted to go to prisons, and I began to work with a prison ministry, a prison fellowship, and I began to write letters to prisoners and inmates. In our Sunday school class, we sent cards to them. They responded. Remember, we went Project Angel Tree. Some of you might remember that, taking gifts to children whose parents were in prison. And we had some that reached to us on that. And they would say, you know, I remember one young woman coming to me, and she said, she was crying and she was broken. She said, well, her children had been taken from her, and she had quite a story, sad story, but you'll find it's out there a lot. She had been abused and things. And she said, you've been in prison because of child abuse? And I said, well, that's what I was charged for. She wanted to hug me, and she said, tell me, what did you do? How did you? And she wanted me to know. There was a testimony there. There was a way of working with her. That encouraged me. That helped me. That picked me up. It gave me that lift to redeem myself from that feeling of, you might say, anger there. And that is important in our lives, to turn that charge into something constructive, to turn it into something that will be helpful to other people. The Lord has grace, ultimately above all. It's by His grace. It's not of ourselves, but it's by His grace. It's by His redemption that we're able to do that. And I found it worked. And like I said, looking back, I can see the steps, the things that the Lord taught me and directed me. And at the time, I didn't realize what He was doing. But now as I look back, I can see His hand in those things. Because I listened to Him and obeyed the Holy Spirit, and I could have easily gone adrift. I could have easily made shipwreck because of some of the things that happened in my life and the feelings I had. And, you want to run. Oh, I wanted to run. I wanted to run. I wanted to leave. I wanted to get away. And all the things, I would go to town, and I couldn't take all the children for a while because my nerves are so bad. And, you know, little children pick up on when you're nervous, and they would just start carrying on. And, of course, then it made me worse, and people were watching to see what kind of mother I was, if I was slapping them, if I was hollering at them. And I tell you, my nerves were just, I did lay down. I cracked up in October. Blaine had to go and help a friend that was in jail. He went to help him, and the friend had got beat up because of another guy had come and mouthed off at an inmate. And the inmate got mad at the guy outside that mouthed off at him, and he beat up the guy's friend. Anyway, and so they released this friend of ours to go to the hospital to get some help because he was in a bad way. He had a bloody face and needed some stitches, and I went to be with him, and I just cracked up at that time. My nerves couldn't take no more, and I was just walking around holding Rodney praying, and Brother Leslie and Sister Sylvia came over, and it was kind of like, I don't know how to say it, but like walking pneumonia, but I couldn't relax. My body was like tense. And the children were out in the yard playing. But anyway, I remember they finally got me to lay down, and I couldn't lay still. I was moving all over, and Sister Sylvia put Rodney to bed. He was just a baby. And they began to pray, and I remember feeling a warmness from the top of my head go through my body and began to, it was like a warm oil. It went all down through me to the sole of my feet, a warm oil, and I fell into a deep, deep sleep. And I slept at least 12 hours or maybe longer. Of course, they took care of the children and watched them and all. And that was in the evening. I didn't wake up until about mid-morning the next day. So it was quite a long sleep. But it was a soothing, quiet sleep. And through that sleep, the Lord gave me a physical touch and helped me out. But through all those things, you know, the Lord is faithful if we look to Him, if we ask His help. So it was, I was going to bring a point out. But He taught me through that time just a minute, and it'll probably come back to me. There were so many things that the Lord taught me to that I had to give it to Him. I had to give it to Him. It was too heavy for me to carry. And there's situations like that where we can't carry it. We can't carry the load. It's too heavy for us. We have to give it to Him. And that's another step, another process in anger. Giving it to the Lord, giving it to Him, and that He is able to pick it up and carry it for us. It's like releasing it, taking a balloon. And I read this one time, and it did help me. I remember reading a devotional woman wrote about, and she had been hurt. I went to hear people speak about being persecuted in other countries, and I could relate to what they were saying, in that they felt alone, isolated, in that feeling of rejection, that feeling of anger. And they said, if you don't be careful, it becomes bitterness, it becomes hatred, and that's what the devil wants, and that's what the enemy that's giving you trouble wants, so they can say, oh, we got you. You know, you don't have God's love, you've got hatred and bitterness, and that's what the devil wants. But when they would talk and tell their stories, I could relate to that, how the Lord had worked on their hearts. And anyway, I was, I remember the Lord working with me on forgiveness. That's what I was, I'm sorry, I just have a lot of thoughts. There's a lot of thoughts there. I remember that was one of the big things. After I got over a lot of the feelings of anger that was still there, but I was putting it in check and using construction to being constructive with it instead of destructive, and feeling striking back was not the answer, but it was more the answer of being constructive and helping others. The forgiveness came too. That's the key to a lot of anger, is that forgiveness. That's a key there. I want to bring that out. I've mentioned that before in the Sermon on the Mount. Like I said, that Sermon on the Mount became very precious to me, and it has been through the years, where Jesus, when He was praying in Matthew, He said, forgive them, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Matthew 6:14. And that's where it came to at the last, because, and it's still today that way. The Lord deals with me many times on this, and I think it's a key to salvation and to letting go, to releasing. I was going to tell about that woman's devotion, I'm sorry. She told about how what she did was, the Lord impressed upon her to take a balloon, and she wrote a bunch of things of hurts in a piece of paper, on pieces of paper. She put, you know, the hurts that had happened to her that had made her angry, and she put them on pieces of paper, and she put them inside of a balloon, and she blew that balloon up and took it outside and let it go. And when she did that, she released those hurts to the Lord. And said, and then from then on, whenever she would feel an anger about some of the hurts, she would say, no, but it went up to heaven in that balloon. And that was her way of letting go. And I got a hold of that. I remember getting a hold of that. And I didn't actually do it with the balloon, but I thought, you know, that was a good illustration of how to let go of hurts, to release and let go, is to put it in a balloon and send it up to heaven and let the Lord deal with it. Just give it to Him. Just let it lift. And she said it made her feel so much lighter to release and let go and to give the Lord those burdens. And I remember that, putting that upon the Lord's shoulders. And then the Lord brought me to this about forgiveness. And it all comes down a lot to that. The channel out, the way of escape, is through forgiveness. And it's hard sometimes because the person within us does not want to let go. It's a feeling of being justified, a feeling of I want to get revenge. My pride has been hurt here. You've crossed over onto my territory and you've caused me wrong and you've hurt me. So I'm going to find some way to get back at you to make you hurt. You have to let go of those feelings. You've got to release them. You have to let them go. That is bad anger. And it will cause you to go deeper and deeper and deeper into a depression, a hatred and bitterness. But if you can let go through forgiveness, and it comes from the blood of Jesus, letting Him cleanse you. But this is the way the Lord dealt with me, and I believe it's still for today. He said, you know, you're getting ready for a trial, and you're wetting your family. And I was dealing with the Lord on every avenue I could think of. And that's where we have to be careful, too. You know, I had to let go. People mean well, even your friends and your family and the saints of God. You have to let go sometimes because they'll tell you. Now, if you'll, and I'm just going to say, you've got to dress this way, you've got to eat this way, you've got to do this sort of thing, and you'll find pleasure with God. God will be pleased with you. And there's ways and standards and things that we need to do, but that's surface. And if you try to just do those things only, it's going to run you batty. And that might be a crude way of saying it. But what I'm saying is, that is the system of man, and that's a religious system. And so many people, Sister Rosie was telling about some, that are caught in that kind of a trap, where they're told, you have to do this, this, this to be in God's favor. And in reality, it's being in the system with them. Now, I'm not saying customs. I'm not saying the way we do things is wrong. I want you to get a point here. What I'm saying is you can't trust in those things. You cannot trust in those things because I know the Lord brought this to me very, very clearly. You can't trust in this because we were told, I mean, people meant well. They were saying, we're really praying for you. Are you being careful of how you do so and so and so? Because we want the Lord to help you. And it was like, okay, I got to make sure of this, you know. And the people mean well. But is that the way we really actually get to the heart of God? And I began to seek. I said, Lord, how do we actually find favor with you? Not with man, because man is back and forth. And you'll find that. You can be really popular for 1 week, and the next week you can say things that hurt and crush. And I've gone through that before, too. And it's not that people mean well, it's just the way people are. So I said, God, where is the key? And this is where he brought me to. The key of forgiveness, love, and mercy. He said, if you want people to forgive you, and you're ready, going back to that time when we were facing a trial, you want them to forgive you as then have mercy upon you, how merciful are you? Do you pick at people's little faults? Lord, help us. Do you want to crush people down and make people feel bad? And you know, how is your attitude? How are you? Do you forgive people their trespasses? Do you forgive people their trespasses? I will forgive you. And the key to heaven is that way. That's why it's going to be so hard. It is so hard for people because it's hard to forgive. When you've been done deep hurts and deep wrongs, it's hard to forgive. But there's mercy. And you know, whenever I was willing to forgive, and I've done this many, many times, in my life, and I'm willing to release and let go, there's a grace that comes in that is above and beyond our human reasoning. Just like that warm oil I felt go through my body. I've felt that many times from the Lord, a blessing. He gives us a blessing. He gives us that grace and that courage that the world cannot give. No one can give. I let go in my heart. I released. I forgave. I'm not going to be revengeful. I'm not going to have bitterness. And when I feel that coming back again, because it is, we're tempted, I'm going to use it constructively to help somebody else. And I'm not going to seek revenge to hurt as it hurt me. And I'm going to turn it into something constructive. I'm going to turn it into some channel that will be a blessing to others. Whenever I am tempted and I feel some anger and I feel, because anger is a surface, and then from there it can go into bitterness. I'm not going to let bitterness come in. I'm not going to let that. I'm going to use this to be constructive in my life, to learn from it, to know how to help other people. And whenever I was able to forgive and release and let go, the blessings came. And that's the way it is every time. I found that to be so. That's the key to opening God's blessings to us and to find honor with him, is to forgive and let go. By his merits are we saved. We want to have that same. You know, there's a parable I just remembered where Jesus told about the king, and he had, and if you can help me with that, it's called the unfaithful, let's see, the merciful steward, where the king dismissed the one servant because he had owed him money, and the king said, I will forgive you of your money that you owe. And the servant said, thank you. And he went out, but he found another servant that owed him money, that owed the second, or the first servant money. And he grabbed a hold of that one that was under him, and he shook him, and he said, give me money. I want my money that you owe me. And the one that was under said, I don't have it. And so that one servant said, well, put him in prison. And he did. He put that second one in prison. And when the king heard about it, what did the king say? He said, "Ha! Bring him back in, that first servant." He said, "I forgave you for so much money, and you would not forgive the other because he owed you a little bit? I'm not going to forgive you." And so Jesus said in that parable, somebody found it. He said, "So it is your Father, which is in heaven. If you don't forgive those that trespass against you," where is that at? Did somebody find it? The parable of the unmerciful servant. It could be. I'm not for sure what book it's in. Yes.
His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast into the prison till he should pay the debt.
Right.
So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Yes, amen. That's exactly it. That speaks volumes to us because we need God's mercy. We must have his forgiveness to make it into heaven, because none of us in our own righteousness can make it. We're not going to find mercy and forgiveness from our Father. And that is so important today. And I believe that's the key that a lot of people miss. And now I want to say here, I'm not saying that modesty and doing things right and abstaining from evil, that's all very good. It's very, very good. And that's our boundaries to keep us in God's sight, to keep us from sinning. Those are good. But not to trust in them. Our trust is in God's mercy, in his shed blood. How do we find favor in getting that mercy and that forgiveness from him? It's by forgiving others. That's where it comes from. And it's hard in ourselves, and many times we, in our own human thinking, feel like, you know, well, they owe me an apology, or they owe me this. But we have to lay that down. We have to let go of that, because many times you're not going to get that. Many times the other person, they didn't realize they trespassed against you. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they have their own battles and their own hurts, and they didn't realize what they did. I found that's the case many, many times. This is part of life. We're all human. We're all just people that are here, and we all have our own battles. We all have our own conflicts. We all have things to deal with. But if we can see it's the devil, the prince of this world, father of sin, the father of lies, it causes our trouble, and put that anger against the devil, and that's many, many times I've done that. It was the devil, but not meaning that the person, you know, it's just the devil did it. The devil is the father of lies. He's the troublemaker. He's the one of confusion. It's the devil that causes trouble. It's the devil that causes confusion, and I hate the devil. We can hate him very much because Jesus hated him. Jesus hates the devil, the father of lies. That was what drew him to the cross in one way, because he knew what the devil was doing to the people of God and would be doing to generations following. So the Lord Jesus, he said, "I am willing to take the cross to die for their sins." And I want to bring it out, transpose that to good. And we can do the very same thing today. By his grace, take things that hurt us, take things that bother us, take it to the Lord in prayer, give it to him, release it, forgive, and then transpose it into something constructive. Use it to the good of the Lord's glory instead of letting the devil use it to bring us down and harm us and maybe put someone else in a box too. Don't do that. Turn it around into something good. And the Lord has ways of letting us do that, helping us to do that. He has a way of giving us the victory. And it's each one of us are individuals. We have different natures and personalities. So he works with us in different ways. But, you know, mine's always been, I like to write. And I like to, different things. And the Lord will let me express and go out that way, you know, study the Word, deepen the Word, and how did Jesus do this, or what did God tell Peter about this? What did he tell Paul? And then David. David was a man that had a lot of things to deal with, and he was running from Saul. Saul did him wrong. Saul crossed him, but whenever you read about how when Saul died, did David rejoice? No, he went into mourning because he said, Israel has lost a great man. And yet David could have rejoiced. He respected that office that Saul had. And David had some victory there in Jesus. I believe it came from singing. He was a man that sang. Singing is very good. We can sing away sorrow. We can sing away anger. We can sing away things sometimes that build up. We can sing surface things away. But that deep down anger that can come in has to be rooted out by the blood of Jesus, has to be released, given to him. Forgiveness is the key. Forgive myself, forgive others, forgive, let go, release, give it to God, and that can heal and it can mend. May the Lord help us all. I hope it was a blessing.